Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
This is Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modena. Thank you so much for being with us. Coming up on the show, you remember last week we spoke to a community right next to Lasnasia and they were complaining about access to water. You may remember that the city of Johannesburg's Joburg Water had cut them off. We had the person responsible thereof of that campaign at Joburg Water, and they had promised that they were going to be bringing in tankers with water once they had completed their operation. If you remember, that operation wasn't quite completed because the residents actually were complaining about the entire operation and stopped them. The authorities were going to go back and come back with the tanker. So we're going to pick that up because today they went out to protest again. So we'll find out what that was about. We'll also speak about many other things, one of which is education, the state of education in this country. We'll speak to someone who really, really understands it. We're not going to wait for January. The space is cluttered. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, going back to school. Very soon we'll be talking about matric results. But in the context of all of that, we need to understand really what the state of education is and how we don't end up only speaking about matric results, only speaking about going back to school. So we'll have Equal Education's General Secretary Nonqeto Madube-Dube, who is really a fountain of knowledge when it comes to the state of education in this country. But we want to start here. Many of you are preparing to leave, or some are preparing to come and visit family. You know the traffic gets quite a lot in and out of the country. So the Border Management authorities gave a briefing today. I'm going to be speaking to the Commissioner, Dr. Michael Masiapato, who is on the line with us this evening. Dr. Masiapato, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome to Point of View.
No, that's good. Thank you very much, Pimelo. We appreciate the invitation.
It really is a lot to prepare for. You had four phases of preparing for this stage. You've already started planning, and now you are ready to execute.
Yeah, yes, indeed. We started planning around the 20th of September. We knew that this is going to be almost a pre-COVID period in terms of numbers. So on that basis, we put a lot of effort in the planning, as it were. Yes. Hence, we started early in September, and we did the whole throughout October as well as November. So from where we are sitting, we are actually wrapping up the entire planning phase. We are going to implement from the 10th of December, handling the exit, which is then the first leg of the execution until the 31st. Of December, then we then handle the return leg from the 1st of January until the 15th.
Couple of adjustments, one of which is you adjusting the times of operation at certain border points. Will it be all of them, or have you sort of changed the dates and times for each one?
Yeah, so what we basically did is most of our big ports, Pamela, as we speak, like Bed Bridge, Libombo, Maseru Bridge, Fixback, and all of those big ones, Oshuk, they are already on a 24-hour basis. Then we do have some ports who are not on a 24-hour basis. Some of them start running from around 6 in the morning. They close around 4. So we have actually added 2 hours on some of those, and on some of them we have added 3 hours. On some of them, we are actually going to close them around midnight. But there are a few that we are also going to operate on a 24-hour basis, particularly on the 24th, as well as around the 15th in the coming year. So those are the periods that we are anticipating the highest numbers of people coming through, even in those smaller ports. That is why we have then extended the operating hours.
Okay. Dr. Masiapato, I mean, generally people, particularly when you go to neighboring countries, and you're saying that we need to be careful and mindful of the kinds of food that we are bringing in or taking out of the country. Just maybe expand a bit about that.
Yeah, no, maybe just to indicate, in terms of exiting the country, it is not much of a problem. I mean, most of our neighboring countries, they don't necessarily have much restriction, so you can be able to exit with most of the things that you want to carry. The only problem, obviously, is with us. You are not necessarily supposed to be bringing a lot of things that are, you know, plants as well as their products, as well as animals, as well as their products. So in this instance, we are talking, for instance, you cannot buy some oranges, somewhere in Harare and get to Bay Bridge and try to enter with them, they are going to be confiscated and destroyed. You are also not going to come with some meat, you know, some goat meat that you might have been given somewhere out there, and you try to come with it in the country. So all of those issues when you come into the country are actually not allowed. So most of those strictness, it is also in terms of the airports. For instance, that is where we even have the sniffer dogs to be able to check all the bags as the people are actually picking up their bags, to make sure that we are able to detect if any of those things are actually in any of the bags, so that we can take them out for destroying.
I'm not trying to be pedantic. I'm being serious now. So yeah, you are saying, Rilo nyadisa ko Zimbabwe. Barifa lutula rona or our half of a sheep, and we cannot bring it back home.
Yeah, so that is how it is. You will remember those are the regulations, and the intention, as you will be aware, is just to protect, you know, the country.
Absolutely.
From any possible introduction of things that can then be very much problematic. I think you can see that's a typical example now with this challenge we are dealing with on food poisoning in terms of the spaza shops and all of those. So there is this possibility that probably some of these organophosphates pesticides are also imported through into the country, and people will bring them for other purposes and not knowing that they can actually become very much dangerous and actually be deadly. So that is the reason why there are this kind of regulations.
All right. And I mean, these are serious questions, because sometimes, you know, we speak big language, but when we need to bring it back to being practical, it must make sense to all of us, including, for instance, when we come into the border with the bodies or the ashes of our loved ones. There needs to be some regulation around that and some paperwork that follows us trying to bring into the country our deceased loved ones.
Yeah, so indeed, Pamela, so that is basically part of what is provided for, even in terms of the World Health Organization. So at the end of the day, when you have somebody being deceased outside the country or inside South Africa, wanting them to be exited, you need to then approach the National Department of Health and be able to do the declarations after you've been to Home Affairs for all of those paperwork, even having the papers from the medical doctors to indicate that you have a deceased person, and then they will then give you the export permit or the import permit, as it were. So that is the permit that when you arrive at the port, there is going to be work that is going to also be done on the mortal remain. You will remember one of the key reasons why we have to do all of that work is to make sure that people don't, for example, go out there, pick up drugs and actually stuff them into somebody's mortal remains, and then they just enter the country. Hence, there is work that must be done on the body, and then once it has been cleared, then it will be given to the families to proceed with the burial processes.
Commissioner, I've got Sammy here with a question. Sammy is in Pretoria. Good evening and welcome, Sammy.
Good evening, Timelo, the Commissioner. Timelo, a day after the DNA was established, I think it was last year, a bus from Zimbabwe came into our country with explosives, loaded with explosives, and it was only stopped when it came to Joburg, when it was already in Joburg. This shows that the Border Management Authority doesn't take our safety seriously. So this time around, I hear what he's talking about. How are we supposed to trust him? What have they improved ever since that incident? That's my question.
All right. Commissioner?
Yeah, no, thanks. Maybe let me start by indicating that, you see, the work that we do, it is not that, a straight line per se. Mm-hmm. For instance, in terms of what he's referring to, just in the past 6 months, we've been able to intercept around 341 explosives that had been brought from Zimbabwe into South Africa. And we know those explosives are being brought into the country mainly to be used in the exploding of the cage in transit vents, but some of them are used for illegal mining purposes. So we intercept all of these things all the time. But at the same time, there will be those that actually we miss. And this is how we miss them, Pamela. You see, one thing that we have not done as a country, and I think this is one of the things that we must be very much open about. We have not invested in border management. That is a fact. And the reason why I'm starting there is because you will understand that other jurisdictions, they do have scanners, you know, where everything that comes through into the country is going through a scanner to be able to have a full appreciation through technology, what is it that is coming through. But as we speak in terms of South Africa, even in terms of our key ports, we have to literally do the scanning of these things through the eyes and actually manual assessments, as it were. And there is no way you will then intercept all of these things. So that is why we keep on saying, going into the future, as we get some investment into this particular space, we should be able to invest in technology so that we can be able to intercept all of these issues. So what he is saying is true, but we do intercept, and then sometimes we have some issues. Maybe the last thing, let me indicate this other point about people per se. Sometimes people get intercepted along the way on the N1 and they are found not to be having a passport. But the point is, it's not necessarily that they passed through the ports. There are instances where literally people get picked up along the way, but there are instances where people would actually exit the bus on the other side, enters into the bushes, and then we, although we try to actually intercept them, but they actually connect back to the buses on the other side. And that is how this job is very much difficult. It requires technology, but also it requires additional human resources.
And you've also brought in, I see, public works as well to give you more support in areas where it's easy to sort of kind of go through those bushes that you've just referred to.
Yeah, but you see, the bringing of public works, Pimelo, in this instance, it is mainly for assisting us in the better management of the people as they exit South Africa. So, I mean, some of these ports are just literally in the dark, as it were. That is why we talk about temporary lighting that we need to be able to install just for the purposes of this festive period per se and be able to deal with the issues. But other things in this instance from public works, we also request things like your JoJo tanks so that we can then store some additional water that we need to give to the colleagues inside the port, but also those that are actually on the corridor so that we are able to deal with the issues, including issues of ablution facilities, particularly on the corridor when people are still queuing as they come through into the port because of the high volume that we are expecting. So we have brought public works to be able to assist us on these issues. So all of these things are temporary measures that we bring in just to be able to deal with the situation in this particular festive period. At the end of the day, from the 15th, we start demobilizing and those things are going to be exited. But for real, you need to have proper investment in the space and have these things actually installed in the port of entry permanently. Things like lighting, for instance. And that is why sometimes people don't understand the complexity that you have situations where you have to be running after people in the bushes in the middle of the night. And in those particular instances, it is a very, you know, difficult exercise. But we do the best with what we currently have.
I believe lighting will also be something that will be brought in this time around.
Yes, indeed. We are going to be bringing those temporary lightings so that they can be able to enable us to do the work throughout the whole night. Because in this instance, I mean, for example, in Bedbridge, Libombo, Maseru Bridge, Fitzbeck, as well as Oshu, Kopfontein, they are 24-hour ports. And on that basis, we need to be able to have adequate lighting, particularly on the corridor, so that even when we do traffic management towards the port, we are able to, you know, to do that in a very environment where we can be able to control traffic. Yeah, so that is one of the requirements that we have requested public works to help us with.
Yeah, the issue of investment has been a talking point for some time. I mean, in fact, Minister Motsoaledi had for some time himself said, other, you know, our counterparts on the other sides are actually are doing much better than us. You know, they've invested quite a bit in technology and we are lagging behind. You spoke about traffic management, particularly, you know, in the Baybridge area, Limbobo. What are you going to do to manage that traffic, apart from bringing ablution facilities and water and so on?
Yeah, so you see, in terms of the mandate that we carry as the Border Management Authority is to work within the port, but we also work in the border law enforcement area, which is 10-kilometer radius towards the port. So in terms of the entire corridor, what we do the work in partnership. That is why in this instance, we have a very clear agreement with the Cross-Border Road Transport Agency that is going to bring their contingent on the corridor to help us in terms of managing the traffic towards the port. We also have the agreement with the Road Traffic Management Corporation. The RTMC is also going to bring the contingent, particularly in our, you know, top three land problematic commercial ports. And then we also have relations with the respective traffic authorities in the respective provinces so that they also bring in capacity on the ground to be able to help us manage the traffic. You remember during the exit phase, the biggest thing that we deal with is the issue of corridor management to be able to properly manage the traffic as it approaches the port. Inside the port, we are very much organized there because what we have done, we have put in additional processing points, and some of them are temporary that we've brought in to be able to separate, you know, pedestrians from the people on small vehicles, from the people on buses, from taxis, as well as from the cargo or the trucks. So all of those issues are at play. But in terms of the corridor, we do it with partnership with the other authorities that have the mandate to control traffic.
I really, really appreciate you giving us your time for this update. Border Management Authority Commissioner Dr. Michael Masiapata, thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.